Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Girl Podcast. I'm Stephanie Laska, best-selling author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, professor of sociology. We believe there are many paths, often unconventional, to achieve your goals. But we get stuck thinking we have to follow experts and fixed set of rules.
Well, as the leader of the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group with over 200,000 members, I see people are hungry for a fresh approach, not just for weight loss, but to help live their very best life. Season 2 of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast will provide lifestyle advice, lots of fun support, and practical tips to help you at home. Because you know what? You don't have to be perfect to be successful. Join us.
I would almost rather have a root canal than go get weighed at the doctor's office. It's awful. I dread it. It feels embarrassing. And weighing at home, Stephanie, while that's more private, it's not really that much better because I'm my own worst critic. I feel judgment and anxiety. But the problem is, if I don't weigh myself, I worry that I'm going to go into denial and start gaining weight, which I've done. But then if I'm weighing all the time, it really takes these hits to my self-esteem. So Stephanie, I don't know. I haven't really resolved the issue of, you know, when should I weigh myself and how much, or even if at all. This is a challenge.
Well, I hear the anxiety in your voice, Tamara. It's something I can really relate to. And I think all of our listeners can too. When I was in elementary school, I remember my whole class having to line up one after the next and jump on a scale. And my teacher was making a chart of how much each one of us weighed. He probably thought it was no big deal, like we were all just little kids and didn't mind. I don't even know how old I was at the time, but I do remember him. It was a man teacher, but he wrote down that I weighed 81 pounds. And I remember his face. He was upset and disappointed in me, like I had done something wrong. And I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed. It's the first memory I have about feeling that there was something wrong with my weight. And from that moment on, I really became afraid of the scale. It's taken me years, probably decades, to be honest, to get over that feeling and to really develop a healthier attitude about how much I weigh. So I get that anxiety.
I think we all have had similar, like, mortifying experiences with the scale. So today's episode, we're going to explore the topic of weighing yourself. Is it a good idea? How often should you step on the scale? What are the pros and cons of weighing yourself? And are there other ways to monitor your health? So join us today for the battle of the scales. But first, we'll take a quick break.
It sounded very dramatic. I really liked that lead in. I almost need a drum roll. Today's episode, my friends and listeners, is sponsored by my new book, Dirty Lazy Keto: Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking All the Rules. In order to stay on track for myself with my own personal weight loss of 140 pounds, I had to completely change my relationship with the scale. I actually had to fall in love with the scale. And I share my tips and how I did it in chapter 2 about creating realistic personal goals. And the book is available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, BJ's, in stores and online. Dirty Lazy Keto: Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking All the Rules, in paperback, ebook, and audio format.
Thank you, Stephanie. Ta-da. So let's get started with the battle of the scales.
Bam!
Yes, we got to, like, bring some levity to this topic because it's like, it seems like a light topic, but honestly, I feel the heaviness of it.
I'm with you. I felt very anxious even talking about this. I know Tamara and I, we put it on our list of suggestions for ourselves, but we kept avoiding it because it's uncomfortable to talk about. It makes me feel just emotional bringing up the topic.
Yeah. And our people on the Dirty Lazy Keto support group on Facebook, they bring it up all the time too.
Constantly.
So I know, yeah, it's an issue. So hopefully today we're going to talk about the pros and cons of it. And hopefully you can find some answers or better understand what works right for you.
And we don't want our listeners to feel like we are going to offer the perfect answer today. We want to be upfront with that. You know, Tamara and I, we both have our own stories and our own biases. We have different opinions and have had different life experiences. We're going to share that with you and bring that to the discussion, but by no means do either of us think we're right or wrong. So we just want to throw that out there before we even get started. So, you know, we were joking about battle of the scales, but really, it's more of a hug.
Exactly.
It's a loving place.
Yes. And as we always say, you know, don't necessarily believe every expert. We're not experts either. So
we're just two of your girlfriends that are telling it like it is from our point of view.
Exactly. Well,
do you ever fall in love with the scale? Well, before we even start, Tamara, I'm curious if I can, I'm going off script, which is,
I know
you hate it. How often do you weigh yourself?
Oh my God. I dread it.
I'm just curious.
It varies depending on what diet I'm on or whatever. But now, maybe once a week.
Okay. So yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there, you know, because people always ask that question.
How often do you weigh?
I do get on the scale every morning and every night.
Yeah. See, we're totally pretty far away from each other in that.
But that's okay. I just thought that might be helpful to throw that out there because people always want to know that before we even get to the talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good question. Yeah. Good question. Okay. Well, should we start with some pros or cons or what do you think?
I don't know. What do you think? Do you have any are you in love with the scale? What are some positives? Let's start with the positive. You know, when you're a little kid, they always say, give your criticism in a sandwich. Put the positive first, the negative in the middle.
Okay. Let's start with the positive.
Let's say something nice about the scale because we all hate it so much.
I know. Actually, okay. So our first positive is that the scale is neutral.
It is.
It's not your husband saying you look fat or, you know, or your own self saying that. It's actually, it doesn't care what
it
you
does
think.
Not
it's a machine.
Give a damn. No. Yeah. It's funny. I wrote that too. Cause I wrote, it's not your girlfriend telling you look great in those jeans. You know how we all have friends and we're like, do I look good in this? And your friends are like, heck yeah, girlfriend, you wear that outfit. And meanwhile, you look horrible. I don't know. The scale, it's not lying. It's just a piece of metal. Right.
It's just like some springs and some wires and
it's just sitting there. It's just the thing in the corner.
Yeah. We don't have to make it a monster.
You don't have to get to know it. You don't have to hug it. No, you can just walk by it.
It's information.
It's just information.
Yeah. And you can take the information and use it or you cannot, but it's in and of itself. At least it's not a doctor or a friend. Like you said, it's just a totally unbiased, neutral thing.
Yeah, device. Well, that's our positive for the scale. Thank you, Mr. Scale. But so why do you think it causes so much trouble then? Like, is there a negative involved or where does the disconnect happen, do you think?
Well, one of the cons that speaks to this is that it's neutral, but we give it more meaning than it. We empower that
scale, don't we?
We do. Like, we think it's this measure of health. It's not. In fact, doctors will begrudgingly admit to you, it doesn't tell you if your heart is healthy, how in shape you are. It's only weight. So it's not always accurate. One of the things that on the con side is that your weight can fluctuate from other things besides fat. Like, you know, because you gain fat. If you're on your period, you'll weigh heavier. If you've eaten a lot of salt, you're retaining water, you'll be heavier. There's certain medications that make you heavier. And I've seen people freak out because they put on 3 or 4 pounds and it turns out like it was water weight. And same the opposite. They're like all excited because they lost, you know, 20 pounds. And this happens in keto a lot because in the beginning, you lose a lot of water weight. And that can be deceiving, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say it's not always we're putting on it that it has more meaning than it does.
Like the scale, it's like a lot of pressure we put on it. It's like we think it's some kind of expert reading on the exactness. You know, they people look at it and maybe we've all been grown up with it in the wrong way where we've been taught, you know, whatever it says, that's the law. But I think you're absolutely right. There's a lot of different, you know, things that can cause weight to go up and down. Like you mentioned, salt, you mentioned your period, hormones. I know pregnancy that can obviously cause huge changes, hormones, menopause, medications that you're on, even foods that you eat. I know for myself, I've been doing this so long that I've gotten a little bit of a pattern down where I know like if I eat something with a lot of sugar alcohols that can trigger a little bit of a balloon, or even unexpected carbs. Like if some, you know, like more tomatoes in my salad or sauce than normal, or more, you know, some chickpeas snuck in, or I ate some fast food and maybe they used some ingredient I wasn't familiar with. So yeah, there's a lot of different things that can artificially make it go up or down.
Yeah. And I would say it's not going to make it go up and down 50 pounds.
Right. That's where I wanted to go next, girlfriend. Cause I was like, this is where I get in trouble. Cause Steffi starts lying to herself and I'll be like, oh yeah, it's because of that granola bar I ate yesterday, that protein bar with the blah, 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 blah. Next thing. Yep. I've been down that path.
What I would say is, it's not always accurate because of the salt or whatever, but it's only going to be off a few pounds up or down.
Right. So not 10 or 20.
Right. If you gain 10 or 20, that's a pretty good indicator that you've gained weight. If you've gained 1.5, like I've seen people obsess over a 0.5 raise in their weight and like go crazy. You should never do that with a scale. They're just not that accurate. There's too many factors, but 10 pounds. Yeah. You should probably. In that case, it's telling you some information that's probably true.
One thing that's helped me, Tamara, I know, like you're saying about the artificial ups and downs can trigger, you know, like crazy reactions or unexpected thrills. But something that's helped me is just looking for more trends of my weight and patterns. And that's really been helpful. Like if I see, you know, yes, a pound here or there, that doesn't mean much to me, but if things start going in the wrong direction, in my opinion, for myself, that can be an alert to change my behavior. So I look more at trends and more big picture as opposed to the day-to-day exact number. But that's just my experience.
And I'm like, was impressed that you knew like, oh, if I eat a granola bar or I eat these things, you know, so you've done it long enough and you've paid attention like to the, you don't just freak out over one reading, but you've been looking at for years now so that you kind of get a sense of the foods that will lift it up and not, and so that you won't totally freak out. You have to learn to read it right. Like pay attention to it. Right. Does that make sense?
For me, it does, but I know other people, I know we've been talking about this, Tamara and I, for years, ad nauseum, for hundreds of hours in depth for, but you know, not everybody can have that relationship with the scale. You know, there are people that are experiencing, you know, eating disorders or just having different, emotional experiences that are way beyond, you know, a simple like, oh, it's up or down because I eat too many tomatoes. Right.
Yeah.
So that there's different levels of anxiety and worry that can come with the scale. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that was one of my cons, but that I'll explain, but it depends. But you're right. It depends on the person because we're not all the same. But if you are a kind of an OCD person, and if you've struggled with eating disorders in the past, or you have that combination of OCD / perfectionism / just a fixate on stuff, usually weighing is not a good thing for you. For those people, you're more vulnerable to getting eating disorders or to trigger obsessive behaviors, like where you can't stop thinking about every morsel, which may trigger binges or too much restriction. I mean, so for some people, like I said, you know, they can't take it as just take the information in context. It becomes like something they get fixated on. So if you're that type of person, it's hard to know, but if you know you're that type of person, if one reading on the scale throws into a huge depression and you can't get out of it and you can't stop fixating on it.
Right. And that could be something maybe to reach out for help for. So we want to be clear, you know, we're being kind of whimsical and light about the pros and cons of weighing, but if you feel like you're in that, that category, definitely reach out for help from your healthcare provider or from a guided professional. Cause we are not guided professionals. We are just speaking from our own experiences.
Yeah. And weighing can send them on a really bad path, and we don't want that to happen.
No, we don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But on a positive note, I'll change gears a little bit. Something that's helped me is privacy. As you know, I've shared on the podcast that I didn't tell anyone when I was losing weight, not for a long time, kept it really top secret. I thought I was doing something wrong eating more fat in my diet and sugar-free Jell-O and Diet Coke and beer. I thought surely I was breaking a lot of rules. So I didn't tell anyone, and I didn't tell anyone how much I weighed. I felt the scale was a really private experience. I didn't tell anyone, you know? And I think that's a benefit of the scale. It's not like, you know, getting your cholesterol read where you have to go to a lab and they have to check it and, you know, issue you a bill and then you get it in the mail or have to go on a doctor visit or your A1C draw. I felt like the scale is something private and accessible only to me. And I really liked that part of it.
And yeah, and you don't need an expert like that. It's funny when you're saying that, I remember going to a personal trainer and him using that machine that measures your fat.
Oh, hell
oh my God. That was so embarrassing.
Hell no, I would not mortified. Do that.
I was mortified. So that, nope. So that privacy thing is, I think that's really important. This, you don't have to be an expert to read it or do it. And you don't have the humiliation of having someone witness it.
I would not do that. That sounds terrible. Well, I know that one of your suggestions, Tamara, was that the scale doesn't differentiate between water or muscle weight. So tell us how that little device, what does that do?
The fat thing?
Yeah. Does that help with water or muscle weight, or is that something totally different?
Well, there's different ways of measuring fat. You can do a caliper test where they literally take this pincher thing and they like literally pull your fat like around your tummy and they measure it under different places. That's really, it's such an embarrassing because they go right to like your underarms and your stomach. Really but that one's not that accurate, I've heard. And then there's a couple different ones. I mean, there's even like the most accurate one. I think they dunk you in a tank of water because fat floats.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So are these things you've done? I've not done anything.
I've done the caliper we got in our sports physical at high school. That was mortifying. But I was such so low fat back then, it wasn't so bad. But the last one was at my a personal trainer, and oh, the numbers were like really high. I was just like walked out in shame. those are different ways of measuring it, but they are not private, and you need some expertise in using them. Mm-hmm. And just like the scale, they're not completely accurate.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of different ways that you can use a scale to measure yourself. I myself have only used the crappy bathroom scale, you know, the one from the grocery store that I've had for like 20 years. And I do have to tell you though, the other day it was funny. My husband and I were both climbing into bed and we both weigh ourselves privately. Every morning, every night, both of us do. And I remember he climbed into bed and he was so grumpy and I was kind of grumpy too. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's bothering you? He's like, I just got on the scale and I gained 10 pounds. And I'm like, I did too. Damn it. And then we went and looked at that scale and the batteries needed replacing. So here we were both all sad, like we had gained 10 pounds in 5 minutes. But it was hilarious because it was the scale needed a battery. Anyway.
I know.
That's an offshoot. That.
And that's like one of the downsides, I guess, is if about it not being accurate.
It's pretty good, but you got to have some batteries in there. And they're all a little bit different, you know.
I know mine always weighs lighter than the doctor.
Right? That's like one of the greatest mysteries of the world.
I swear they set them heavier.
Yeah.
I swear.
I'm not really sure. Another tip, like just being more positive about, you know, we're talking about honesty. Is the scale an honest thing? And like you said, there's a little bit of variance. I think that too often we look at a scale and we expect it to be spot on and the same on every device we step on at the gym, at the doctor's office, at home. But one thing I like to think about is a range. This has helped me a lot, Tamara, where I like expect my weight to be in a certain range. Like, okay, my weight should be, you know, one whatever to blah, blah, blah. And if it's in that range of like, let's say 5 or 8 pounds, then I feel good. Like I know that's where I should be. Yeah. And I kind of, it's like a decade, like it's the certain decade number on the scale that then I know, okay, yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah. And then you don't get so upset or obsessed about like a half a pound or 2 pounds, because that's where I think you go crazy.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when
it
you're.
It might not be the best, most reliable way to look at a weight is by the points and the decimals and maybe a bigger picture and having like a little bit of a cushion.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I'm very excited about the scale. Very excited.
One of my cons is that it causes unhealthy mental highs and lows. But the way you do it is one way to help avoid that by not getting real upset by a half a pound or a pound. Instead, well, if I have a wider range, then that calms down that. But that's one of the, you know, the downsides is like, I found myself doing that when I'm weighing all the time, that if the number's high, I'm like probably too happy and overeating, or I get low and then I'm like depressed all day. And I don't like the feeling of a scale determining my self-worth.
Yeah.
Like that's too much, I think, at that point.
And I do have to giggle, Tamara, because I think we've all experienced that in our lives where we've saw a weight loss and then we run out and celebrate by eating. Like, what is the deal? We of all, let's admit it. Raise your hand, ladies. Every single one of us has done that where we're so excited to lose a few pounds. So we run out and eat.
Guilty. You know? I need my little gavel.
We've all done it. Every single one of us. Let's be honest. Yeah. Totally we're very honest on our podcast. It's true. But this is something, you know, like I said, I've really worked hard to develop a better relationship with the scale. And I've had to strategically look for ways to improve my self-esteem and my confidence that didn't involve my weight. And that's something I'm working on with my daughter as well, is I won't want her self-esteem and confidence to be tied to a number. I want it to be more about how strong she is or how athletic she feels, or speaking up in class when she felt scared, or trying something new, or, you know, mastering a new skill. Those are better ways to feel confident and stand tall.
Absolutely. So I think it's okay to use a scale, but you can't give it too much power, I guess.
Yeah. It's just a tool.
Yeah. It's just one little thing. It doesn't even totally measure your health entirely.
It's an indicator. Yeah.
Right. And that was one of my other cons I had on there, was that because it's just the weight part and you're giving it so much attention, you'll start getting disconnected from your body signals. So like, your hunger is based on the scale, and it shouldn't be. It should be based on, you know, you reading your body cues, like, you know, those learning to be in touch with, am I really hungry? Where this kind of doesn't really encourage that, paying attention to your body sensation. So I would say use the scale, but then also don't forget that you need to be paying attention. Are you feeling tired and run down? Are you feeling dehydrated? Like, be in touch with those feelings, because the scale gets you distracted from that.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that some people might get on the scale and use that to tell them if they're hungry or not, as opposed to learning to listen to their body?
Yes.
That could be something to be aware of, is kind of what you're suggesting.
Yeah, because I've done that. Like, I'll get on the scale and it says I haven't lost anything and I'm famished. And I feel like, oh, I shouldn't eat because I didn't lose anything. But I'm starving.
So learning to like separate those experiences to say, hey, I'm hungry or I'm not hungry. Whatever the scale says doesn't tell me it's time to eat, or I'm tired or I'm stressed.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's complicated, this damn scale, isn't it? I just want to acknowledge that. It's like, you'd think it would just be such a simple thing, like get on the scale or not. But no, as women and men, all of us have just this whole lifetime of trauma associated with that scale. And it's hard to step back and think of how to develop a different relationship with it. It takes hard work and something to be mindful of.
It is. And it's easy to get caught up in this, letting the scale rule your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't have to, but you have to, I guess, be aware of its potential, you know, dangers.
Yeah. Well, one thing you said earlier, which I really liked, is you were talking about it just being a tool. It's one of the tools to monitor your health. Yeah. And I have a family member who's a doctor, and she has high cholesterol. And we talk about that a lot because she's super fit. She eats well, she exercises, but she has high cholesterol. And I said, well, do you worry about that? She's like, well, this is just one indicator of my overall health, as is her weight, as is her blood pressure, as is her cardiovascular fitness. It's one piece of a puzzle. And I think weight is similar to that, where it's kind of like your blood pressure, your temperature. It's a check-in and it's a reflection of your overall health, but it's just one tool for you to monitor your health.
Exactly.
And I'm all on my soapbox. No, it's true, though. You cannot give it more power than it is, because you can be super thin and then have high cholesterol from not eating, you know, foods that you should, maybe. But it's just one piece of the puzzle.
And that's one thing. I'm sorry if I go off a little bit here.
No, but we're getting all on our soapboxes. You go, girl. You tell it.
Well, it gets me frustrated because the medical industry puts too much on that number, because I've seen a lot of people also who are really skinny, mm-hmm. who have terrible health.
Yeah,
they're smoking, they're drinking, they're right. not exercising, they're eating crap. And yet we don't have this huge worry about them like we would someone who actually probably is eating healthier, just maybe too much food. Yeah. And they're getting all crucified by the, mm-hmm. the medical industry. So I feel like you said, it's a useful tool. Let's not throw it out, but let's not make everything about health based on weight. Look at those other things, blood pressure, fitness, cardiovascular, all that stuff, that we just forget about that stuff.
This is very complicated. Wouldn't you agree?
I do.
It's like, dang it. Why can't they all listen to this podcast?
I know.
Good advice. We've got to figure it out. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and I wish we could, I'm sure listeners are like, just do I weigh or not? And you know, give me the formula. Okay. It's two mm-hmm. times a week or whatever. But unfortunately you can't approach it that way. Some people need to be on it more or some people less. I mean, if you have a personality that will get fixated on it, maybe you shouldn't. Or maybe if you're in denial a lot, maybe this is a more helpful tool for you. I mean, so there is no, yeah, it's just not an easy answer.
It's not an easy answer. I know for me, I had to really, it wasn't all or nothing for me. I had to instead just focus on my relationship with the scale in a different way. And yeah. And I'll share that later in my final hack. But
okay, good.
Yeah. I think there's some in between as well. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You know, it can be a useful tool. It can be something that's scary. But sometimes there's an in-between as well.
I think you're right.
Yeah. It can go all over the place. One of my favorite analogies, I wrote this down. I don't know how it fits in, but I'm just, you know, rambling. but one of my favorite analogies, and this helps me, is I think of the scale kind of like my bank account. Like, I need to know how much money is in my bank, right? I can't just be running around town with my ATM card, like buying Starbucks and shopping and whatever it is I'm doing, groceries. I have to know how much is in there or else I'm going to overspend. It's right. just a number. So I do have to check on my ATM and see what kind of cash I have on hand. And I feel like the same as, you know, that's how I have done it with the scale. I need to know how much I weigh because it's a reflection, just like my checking account, of what I have to work with.
Yeah.
And I kind of just put it in a neutral category where it helps me make better decisions throughout the day, throughout the week. I know I can't be overspending, so to speak.
Yeah. And if you get too obsessed with checking every minute and worrying about every penny that goes in and out of your
account. Yeah, that doesn't sound healthy either. Kind of like a bank account. You wouldn't want to be checking your bank balance every minute and a half.
Exactly.
But you need to know what's in there, like, so that you can make honest, responsible decisions.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I want to know what our listeners think.
I'm dying to know. You know they're going to be sending us a lot of emails.
Because I think they may have some even more stuff to add, make it even more complicated. So listeners, how often do you weigh yourself and why? Please tell us your story by emailing Stephanie@dirtylazyketo.com or via Facebook or Instagram at Dirty Lazy Keto. But also, speaking of listener feedback, Stephanie, I got one from Cody.
Oh, Cody. And
yes. Can I read it?
Oh, I'd love to hear what Cody has to say.
He said, just listen to the bad patient episode. Remember that one?
I do. That was a good episode.
She said, thank you for encouraging people to be involved in their healthcare. It is so important and no one does it. As a medical biller, it is so hard to explain insurance to patients when every plan is different. She also says doctors also tend to order more procedures than they need to because they are so worried about malpractice suits. That's why being specific and honest with your doctor is so important. Wow.
That's amazing.
Great. Thank you, Cody. That's great advice. She just confirmed like a lot of the stuff that we talked about telling your doctor, being proactive, getting to, you know, to know your policies. And she's really confirming all that.
Great tip.
Yes. Okay. So before we get to our personal favorite hacks, Stephanie, let's take one last break.
Well, as you know, Tamara, today's episode was brought to you by my new book, Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rules. The book offers practical and easy ways to monitor your progress, healthy ways to celebrate success, and tips for starting over after falling off the wagon. Don't have to be perfect to be successful with weight loss, and I'm here to help you. Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rules. Links to order on my website, dirtylazyketo.com/books.
Thank you, Stephanie. And now it's time for our famous hacks.
I want to hear from you first, girlfriend.
Okay. Well, in one large sales study of people who kept their weight off for 2 years or more, so they're a lot like you, Stephanie, they actually not only lost the weight, but they kept it off. So they were like, what's the secret? What the secret was that not all of them weighed themselves. So you can be successful and not weigh yourself. But they said everybody had a way of measuring whether or not they were going up in weight. So maybe it wasn't the scale, but they had some way of measuring it. So I'm here to give you a few hacks, a couple tips of alternative ways. If the scale is something you don't want to use, I have a few things you can try. And these are some of the things that the people in the study did. One way was to use a tape measure and measure your arms, your legs, and then write that down and just watch to see if it's shrinking or growing. The other is to get your fat measure. We talked about that, although that one mortifies me, but maybe you're okay with that and all those different ways of fat. And then the final way a lot of the people in this study did it was just use their dress size. So if they're a size, you know, 6 and all of a sudden they're creeping up to a 7, then they're like, oh, okay, I got to modify my diet a little bit. And then they get back down. And then so dress size was enough. So as long as if you can't find a healthy way to use a scale, try one of these other tips.
I love that. I love how it's the theme of that hack is all about being accountable and honest. That's the key, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, for me, Tamara, seeing the number on the scale, as I've shared, you know, over my lifetime, it's been emotional to see that number. So what I learned to do is instead of, you know, looking at the number on the scale, is my tip is to write it down on a piece of paper. And I know that sounds silly, but for some reason, when I write it down on a piece of paper, it's not scary anymore. It loses the scariness. Yeah. And that's something I did when I was losing 140 pounds. I wrote down my weight every morning and every night. And instead of looking at just one exact number and freaking out over little blips, I looked for trends, for ups and downs. And I could really kind of get a feel for it after a while, especially with hormones and foods that I ate. So monitoring my weight this way really helped me make course corrections and give me honest, quick feedback about what I was doing. And I've really learned to appreciate the scale and love it. I'm going to give it a hug.
I need to hug my scale because right
you
now
should put I love you on the scale. That should be our final hack. You should write on there with Sharpie. Love you. You're fabulous.
Well, the bottom line, listeners, is that there's no clear answer here about weighing yourself. For some, it could do more harm than good, but for others, it's an essential way for staying on track. So you just need to decide for yourself and what's best for you.
Such great advice. And as we wrap up our episode today, I want to just implore all of you, if you're enjoying the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, if you would be so kind to leave us an honest review on Apple Podcasts. They are the ones that collect reviews. So even if you're listening on Spotify or through Alexa or on iHeartRadio, if you would zip on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us an honest review. I got this lovely review from Stacy in Mississippi. I wanted to say, hi, girlfriend. She was calling me, Stephanie, her keto mama. And then she changed me to her keto BFF. But I just thought that was so cute.
I like
you're my BFF too, Stacy in Mississippi. She said she loves our tips. She's only a week into our podcast, but she is a big fan. So thanks for listening and the honest review, Stacy.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast.
And don't forget to visit dirtylazyketo.com where you can join the conversation and gain access to all kinds of free content to help you on your dirty lazy journey.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider supporting us by subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Be sure to stay tuned for our next Dirty Lazy Girl podcast where we give you even more tips and support.
You don't have to be perfect to be successful.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.